Radio Prague News.
Piano Party is seen gaining a third of votes, Czech car production rises, and technology is seen changing half of current jobs. The Ano Party of Andrej Babiš has increased its opinion poll lead over other parties, according to June's survey of intentions by the STEM agency. It found Ano way ahead with support from 32.8% of respondents, likely giving it 92 seats in the 200-seat lower house. The Communists were placed second with 12.7%, and the current leading government party, the Social Democrats, third with 11.4%. The poll was carried out in the days running up to June the 15th. Social Democrat Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka announced his intention to stand down as party and election leader on June the 14th due to poor ratings. The latest poll would also see the Civic Democrats and Christian Democrats win seats in Parliament. Ano gained 28.3% and the Social Democrats 16.6% in STEM's April survey. Car production in the Czech Republic during the first 5 months of the year ending May rose by 5.2% to almost 625,000 vehicles, compared with the same period in 2016, according to the Automobile Industry Association. The rise came in spite of a fall in output from the TPCA joint venture car plant. The Czech Republic's biggest car producer, Škoda Auto, up production by 14%, with just over 380,000 cars manufactured. Around 53% of existing jobs could disappear due to the twin effects of digitalisation and greater use of robots. Former Prime Minister and head of the current Premier's team of experts, Vladimír Špidla, warned at a conference in Prague on Monday. Špidla said the main challenge is to cope with the transformation and disappearance of existing jobs and prepare for new ones, especially in the service sector. A background study for the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs suggests around 10% of existing jobs, around 400,000 posts, could disappear over the next 20 years due to the increased use of robots. Defence ministers from six European countries met at Prague Castle on Monday to discuss greater defence cooperation and coordination of measures to deal with the inflow of refugees. The meeting is taking place within the framework of the Central European Defence Cooperation grouping, which consists of the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Austria, Slovenia, Hungary and Croatia. The organisation was created in 2010, with the Czech Republic currently occupying the presidency. The refugee crisis has dominated the agenda over the past 2 years. And finally, a look at football. The Czech national team lost its opening match at the UEFA Under-21 Championship in Poland on Sunday with a score of 2-0 to Germany. The Germans scored at the close of the first 45 minutes and at the start of the second half, and had added a third goal 5 minutes from time from a penalty. And a final look at the weather. The current heat wave affecting the country will continue Tuesday, with daytime temperatures reaching 33 degrees Celsius in Prague and the surrounding district. Scattered cloud could temper the temperatures in the far west and north of the country. The heat wave is seen continuing until at least Friday. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, the Social Democratic Party has unveiled their election program ahead of the autumn general elections, and digitalization and the increased use of robots in industry could lead to the loss of more than half of all the jobs in the Czech Republic. Later on in the program, we meet Jaroslav Kalfat, who is putting Czech literature back on the international radar with his debut novel, Spaceman of Bohemia. All that and more coming up, so please stay with us. The Social Democratic Party, which effected an unexpected change of guard at the top post last week ahead of the autumn general elections, unveiled its election program at a party conference at the weekend. The party is promising voters lower taxes, an average salary of 40,000 crowns a month within 5 years, more generous welfare benefits for families with children, and better healthcare. But how realistic is the program, and can the affected personal changes turn around the party dwindling support? Those are questions Daniela Lazarová put to political scientist Jiří Pehe.
Well, I think that the program of the Social Democratic Party is realistic only to the extent to which the Social Democrats can win the elections or have a good result in the elections. What I mean is that on their proposal to lower taxes to 90% of the people in the Czech Republic and at the same time increase the taxes of big corporations and banks will probably run into a wall when it comes to other parties. And since they don't seem to have any prospect of having a leftist coalition partner after the next elections, I think that it is just a proclamation and that's what it will remain.
The party has been taking radical measures to change its fortunes at the last minute. Can the change of guard and now this election program, is that the recipe to success? Can it possibly work?
Well, I think what can work for the Social Democratic Party is the change of style, which Mr. Zaorálek, who is now the election leader, can perhaps partly deliver because he's from sort of different mold than the Prime Minister Sobotka. But at the same time, I think that unfortunately what Mr. Zaorálek and the others presented at the party conference, program conference this weekend wasn't really anything that would bring a lot of enthusiasm among the voters who have left the Social Democratic Party. So on the personal level, yes, Mr. Zaorálek is a good speaker and he can inflame emotions. So I'm sure that he will do quite well in television discussions with Mr. Babiš, for example, and Mr. Babiš is the main opponent or the main competitor. But that's about it, and we don't really know whether this will be enough to increase the chances of the Social Democratic Party to make a good result in the elections.
Who are the voters that the party is targeting? Who are the people it needs to bring back?
Well, I think that the party is going after lower educated people from small towns and villages, people who go to or frequent Czech pubs, so to speak, which is apparent from Mr. Zaorálek's statement that if it were up to him, he would not be so draconian when it came to the anti-smokers law and Czech pubs could have been exempted from this. I think that he's trying to basically strike a chord with kind of people who should be under different circumstances social democratic voters, but they have defected to Mr. Babiš because he's more populist at this point.
Political scientist Jiří Pehe talking there to my colleague Daniela Lazarová. Digitalization and the increased use of robots in industry could lead to the loss of more than half of all the jobs in the Czech Republic, according to former Prime Minister Vladimír Špidla. Even in the next 20 years, one-tenth of today's job could go, suggests a new study. Ian Willoughby has the details.
Czechs can expect radical changes in the labor market in the coming years. In fact, up to 53% of today's jobs could disappear in future. That's the message from Vladimír Špidla, who addressed delegates at the conference Direction Work 4.0 in Prague on Monday morning. Mr. Špidla was Prime Minister when the Czechs joined the EU in 2004 and is now his Social Democratic Party's chief advisor. He told the conference that some professions in the Czech Republic could be expected to die out completely. Others will be transformed. But the main task facing future governments in this regard will be handling the consequences of these changes for society, Mr. Špidla said. Also speaking at Monday's conference was Michaela Marksová, the Social Democrats' Minister of Labour and Social Affairs. She said there were fears that digitalization and robotization would lead to the demise of many jobs. Change will come, Minister Marksová said, but new professions will also arise and more people will be needed in, for instance, the services. Vladimír Špidla compared digitalization to the Industrial Revolution of the 18th and 19th centuries, which took the society of the day decades to come to terms with. According to a Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs study, up to 10% of jobs, or over 400,000 positions, could disappear within just two decades due to the increased use of robots. The ministry has already produced an employment plan for the coming years. It includes, for instance, allowing workers time off for education, tax advantages for jobs in the services and special loans for the self-employed. New technology could have a deep impact on about one-third of all Czech jobs. That's around 1.4 million positions in total. Labour Ministry officials say it will be necessary to further boost education and, in response to the ageing population, health and social services. The state will also need to take steps to ensure there are enough doctors and other medical professionals to meet demand. At the same time, support for the creation of new jobs should be considered, according to the ministry. Possible measures include reducing the tax burden on labour and boosting support for the self-employed.
Ian Willoughby with that report, and Ian stays in the studio with a summary of the latest Czech sports news.
We begin today with football, and the Czech Republic got off to a losing start at the European Under-21 Championship in Poland's Tichy on Sunday, with the Lion Cubs suffering a 2-0 defeat at the hands of the favourites Germany. The Germans opened the scoring just before half-time and doubled their lead shortly after the interval. The Czechs were unable to find a way back into the game despite a couple of chances, one of which fell to Patrik Schick. The country's star man and the top scorer in qualification had this to say after the game.
I think
it was a super game, and for the spectators too. I think all in all we were a good match for Germany. We played as our opponents allowed us to. I have to admit, the Germans really are good. The city of Tichy is in Silesia, and a very large percentage of the 14,000 fans at Sunday's match had crossed the border from the Czech Republic. Czech coach Vítězslav Lavička said the supporters had contributed to a great atmosphere. The fans urged us on. For me, it's just disappointing that we didn't offer a more dramatic end to the game. We created some chances, and I think if we'd converted them, either in the first half or toward the end of the game, it would have been a more dramatic match. The Czechs' next encounter is against Italy on Wednesday, and their final group game against Denmark takes place on Saturday. Milan Baroš may be said to return to his first club, Baník Ostrava, Sport reported. The management of Ostrava, now back in the Czech top flight after a season in the second tier, are keen to have the 35-year-old sign on the dotted line yet again, the newspaper said. Baroš is currently at Liberec. The Czech team took four medals at the Canoe Slalom World Cup at Prague's Troja at the weekend. Kayakers Vít Trindiš and Jiří Pruskavec picked up gold and bronze in the men's K1 category on Saturday, with Jonáš Kašpár and Marek Schindler coming first in the men's canoe double, and Monika Jančová winning bronze in the women's C1 category on the same day. Sunday was a less enjoyable day for home fans, with no Czech competitors making it onto the podium. Finally, the Detroit Red Wings looked determined to let the Czech goaltender Petr Mrazek leave the NHL club, just a year after he was their unquestioned number one. The Red Wings have left the 25-year-old Mrazek exposed for the expansion draft amid reported questions over both his performance and his attitude. That's all the sports news for today.
Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Not many Czech authors get reviews in newspapers like The Guardian and The New York Times, but the 20-year-old Jaroslav Galfat has achieved that with his very first book, Spaceman of Bohemia. He is Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's edition of One on One.
The young Prague-born writer Jaroslav Galfat has received a great deal of attention in the international media for his debut novel, Spaceman of Bohemia, which combines elements of science fiction with references to Czech history and mixes absurd humour and moral questions. Galfat lives in New York and wrote the book in English. When we spoke recently, the author was on one of his first visits back to his native city since moving to the US.
I moved there when I was 15 years old, 13 years ago, and originally my mother moved there first. She moved there to make a little bit of money. She was cleaning hotel rooms, and she met an American who asked her to marry him, and so she did. And I came to visit them just for the summer. I wasn't planning on staying in the US at all. And I like the beaches in Florida. I like the sun. And I was 15 years old, so I wasn't really thinking about my future. Or I wasn't making any plans, so I decided to stay on the whim.
It seems to me remarkable that you write so well in a language that isn't your first language. How long had you been in the States before you were confident enough to write in English?
It took me about 7 or 8 years before I started playing around with writing in English, writing short stories, etc. And it was terrible at the beginning. It was awful. But it was the practice that really got me to where I am now.
I was reading that you dropped out of high school at one point. Why and how did you spend those years of your life?
Well, that is correct. The reason why, I was in love. And my girlfriend at the time, the first teenage love, she was dropping out as well. So we did it together. And our plan was to go to college right away. There is a test in America called GED. You can take the test. It means you're high school proficient and you can go off to college. Well, that didn't quite work out for me because my immigration papers got lost. So I couldn't go off to college. So instead, I ended up working. I was a waiter. I was a cashier at a store. I just went through all kinds of odd jobs.
Your debut novel, Spaceman of Bohemia, isn't by any means only science fiction, but clearly you are immersed in the genre. What first drew you to sci-fi?
I'm not sure. I think, I've been reading sci-fi since I was very little. I think it was the curiosity and the thirst for exploration and what it meant in the context of the heroes of the books and in the context of humanity. It seemed like everything was possible in science fiction.
And are there particular sci-fi writers or movies that you like?
Yes, absolutely. I grew up reading Stanislaw Lem, Isaac Asimov, Arthur C. Clarke, the classics. As far as movies, there are a lot of classics that I love, 2001 Space Odyssey. But really, I have to pay homage to sci-fi B-movies. My father had a big collection of just the worst sci-fi movies you can possibly imagine. And I loved watching those because of their creativity, and because of how sort of humorous and playful they were.
It's extremely rare for a debut novel to make such a big splash. Of course, there are lots of other great debut novels that don't get so much attention. Where has it all gone right for you?
I have no idea. It's sort of hard to talk about for a writer because you're stuck in a room with yourself, talking to yourself for so long. And the book is sort of a result of all of your obsessions and all the things you love. And then the best hope is you sort of hand it over to the people and you see if they react to it or not.
But how did you go from in your room writing your book to us sitting here talking about it? Somebody must have helped you along the way.
Oh, of course. Well, finding a good agent is the single most important thing a writer can do. Somebody who will fight for the work, somebody who will find the right publisher for it. It took me about a year to find a good agent for Spaceman, but as soon as I found her, I mean, she stopped reading everything else she was reading. She fell in love with the book, and she became a great champion for it. And she was able to also find a publisher and an editor who also loved the book and were sort of willing to put it out into the world in a way that would get attention for it.
There are countless references to Czech culture in the book. You have the Zabijačka, Tatranky, also lots of Czech history, and the spaceship is called the Jan Hus 1. I'm curious, what is the reaction of your US readers to all of these Czech references?
I think that a lot of American readers are very curious about these things, about other cultures, about how sort of things are done. And the Czech Republic has not really been on the international radar in literature anyway in a while. So I think it's refreshing for American readers. I'm excited that I can sort of let them experience our humor and our culture.
And how do they deal with the names or even your name?
They try their best. You know, I have a lot of people coming up to me asking me, how the hell do you say your first name? How the hell do you say your last name? And they try, and it's great.
I was reading that the idea of the spaceman came about before the idea of Bohemia, in that the story originally was going to be about a U.S. astronaut.
That is correct. Spaceman began as a short story about an American astronaut who is stuck in space when his wife calls him and asks for a divorce. And it was sort of just a humorous, light story. And I was very fascinated by this spaceman character who sort of just lost somebody. And I was curious to see how he deals with everything. But at the same time, I wanted my first novel to be about the Czech Republic, about the Czech history, about the Czech present. And then it just sort of clicked that the astronaut in the story should be Czech, and that's when it became a novel.
In articles about you, there have been so many comparisons to other Czech writers, Kundera, Hrabal, Čapek, Hašek. Do any of those mean a lot to you personally in particular?
All of them, yes. I absolutely love Milan Kundera, and he was a big influence on me early on. And Hrabal, Škvorecký, they're so fantastic at combining the philosophical and the humorous and tragic, and they're sort of the pillars of Czech literature.
Well, I wanted to ask you, at the heart of the book, there are quite a few serious issues like retribution. How hard is it to balance the kind of light side, the often absurd humor of the book, with more serious issues like loneliness or, again, retribution?
It's difficult. It can be hard sometimes to determine what you can satirize and what can be made fun of and what is too serious to be sort of satirized in any way. I think the writer sort of relies on their own instinct regarding these things and just hopes for the best.
And what was the attraction for you of, in particular, modern Czech history? I'm talking about the depiction in the book of the communist period or aspects of the communist period and the 1990s kind of Wild East corruption period.
I was sort of determined to use the communist past as sort of a passage into what kind of a country the Czech Republic is now and what kind of a country it can become. Because I did not live in the communist years, but I did live in the years right after, and I sort of watched my parents, my grandparents, dealing with the transformation into a democratic capitalist society. And so I was very interested in how that past can still haunt us and how that past can perhaps prevent us from becoming the best country and the best people we can be.
About communism, you live in the States, you're young, I don't know how old were you in 1989, but you can't remember. Mm-hmm. Did you do research?
I did a lot of research, of course, a lot of research on the history, but a lot of sort of the smaller moments in the books, the more intimate moments about what it was like to live in those times, I took directly from hearing stories in the pub from my grandfather, from his friends, you know, from sort of the village pub talk.
You have with you the Czech translation of the book. You didn't translate it yourself, I believe.
I did not, no.
Did you consider it?
I considered it briefly, but considering that I have not been writing in Czech actively in 13 years, it seemed that I should leave it to a professional, somebody who has been doing translation for a long time, because translation is a strange, different beast than just writing.
Are you still capable of writing Czech?
I am, very much so, yes. Perhaps not as, when we're talking about literature, not as well as in English, perhaps, but I can still write.
Is there any talk of a movie of Spaceman of Bohemia?
There has been interest from some producers asking us. We're being very careful because I want to make sure if there is a movie that, you know, that it's done the right way.
Last words.
Exactly. I want to be sure that I at least can write the script and that good people work on the film if it happens.
Looking to the future, do you think you will again explore Czech themes? Or have you got it out of your system now?
I will absolutely be writing about the Czech Republic for a long time, yes.
I believe you don't come back here so often. From your distance and as a kind of occasional visitor, how do you view the Czech Republic today?
Well, first I'll say that my not being able to come here too often was involuntary. And it was because I was not able to afford it. My family was not able to afford it. So I was sort of stuck in exile for a bit. But now I'm happy that I can come more often and sort of experience the country more often. I feel optimistic about the country. I feel that, of course, there are certain political figures who are making things difficult on the country and who are greedy and who have their own interests in mind before the interests of the people. But there are plenty of those politicians in every country. That's nothing original. I think that the way we have sort of developed our economy and developed our culture as a people after those difficult communist years is extremely impressive. And I think we're a thriving democracy. So despite some setbacks and despite some problems, I'm proud of this country.
Jaroslav Kalfat was Ian Willoughby's guest in that edition of One on One, which brings us to the end of our program here at Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.